Oh, I saw that. I love the left eating itself. I saw that Taylor Swift lost, like, apparently reports were that she lost 5 million followers, and then her and some other people, because they weren't saying anything about Palestine. It's like, these are the people that you want to be with. Congratulations. You're a slave. You're a slave now. You're a wealthy slave.
What an excellent point.
But you better do what they want you to do. So you better start talking about Palestine.
Welcome to the All-American Savage Show podcast with your host, John Burke, and his far more attractive co-host, me. Now, let's get into it. That's what your mom said.
Welcome back to the All-American Savage Show podcast. I am your host, John Burke, and my beautiful heterosexual bearded Jewish life partner sitting across from me, across this desk, operating those controls like, you know, that's the one thing I just can't do anymore. I got nothing. I got nothing left. There's nothing in the tank anymore. Like, what else am I going to say? Yeah, it's just Josh.
I like it.
You're about to have to kick him off the show. Because this guy's getting, like, more love than me on, like, social media. And everyone's like, we love Josh. Like, fuck y'all. It's my show now.
I think it's just Reese.
No. you always play it down. It's like, people don't listen to me. Like, yes, they do. People love you. Why? I don't know. But they do.
I appreciate it. Just happy to be here.
Just happy to be here. It's a beautiful day. Dude, this feels like California weather. It's, like, perfect out. And this is such a rarity. It's, like, the perfect day. And the chickens are still alive. They made it through the night. Thank you, Jesus.
The last two?
The last
two.
Good for them. What's going on, Facebook? Good, what's going on, Twitch? What's going on, Rumble? How are you guys doing? Thank you for being here today. Thank you for all the subs. Thank you for all the love over on Twitch. Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for the Twitch fam out there. Like, damn. I greatly appreciate that. Is Casey DeSantis running? Got an article on that today. I didn't even know this was a thing. Like, where did this... I don't know. Was this like conspiracy? Like, Reese, you're on Twitter. Like, you live on Twitter. Is this a Was this like a conspiracy thing, or were people just speculating and hoping this would actually happen? Or did, was there actually indicators that said that she was potentially going to run? No, she's actually not running. I got the article.
Bastard.
You see, okay, this is why we're the worst podcast / show ever. Normally, when you have a clickbait title like that, you wait till the end of the show. But no, I read the article. She's not running. But I wanted to talk about that, though, because I was like, where did this come from? Where did these ideas spawn from that, you know, the wife of somebody, we see this with the Trump crowd for like Trump Jr., Casey DeSantis. It's kind of like, how is this not kind of like catch a slight whiff of nepotism? Nah, it's not nepotism. If she actually ran, it'd be different. But still, it's like, I don't know. Like, where did this stuff come from?
Has she held any office before?
She was a journalist prior. I don't think she's held any office, but I mean, she's been married to Ron for I don't know how long. And, you know, she's been in the political realm for quite a long time. So, it's, I mean, she said definitely has the experience, I would assume.
Yeah.
I mean, it's how Hillary Clinton made it big. I prefer to have a Casey DeSantis than a Hillary Clinton.
Oh, God.
Hands down. She seems like a very nice, sweet lady, though. Like, she really does.
I've never listened to anything that she's had to say.
She's very intelligent. She's very articulate. She's very beautiful. Their kids are, they just seem like a really good family. I don't know, man. I'd be interested. I mean, I definitely want to see what her positions are, but I would imagine her positions probably mirror Ron's to a degree, but I don't know. But this episode today is brought to you by, hey, did you hear about this company? Hey, psst, you guys want to buy some drugs? Oh, dude, Yuta Reamer, Pew Pew Jew on Twitter, he texts me and he's like, bro, you got to check this out on Twitter. And so somebody gave him a shout out. It's like, hey, you know, let's go support Pew Pew Jew. And this other guy, he's like, yeah, I don't support Jews that sell drugs. I was like, oh, God, I already know where this is going. Because Yuta actually is one of our ambassadors. Like, he posts about the shell shock because it works for, they can take it for the topicals. And this guy's like, he sells drugs. CBD is mind-altering. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't with you boomers. I can't. And then some other dude that I followed on Twitter, like, just calls me out. I was like, THC has been known to destroy, blah, 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 and that's a fact. As you sit there, you're overweight, you're eating insane amounts of processed food, you probably don't exercise, you probably drink like a fish, and you're worried about what some people want to eat or smoke. Like, is this really a thing still? The boomers just need to, y'all need to just go away. Like, seriously, this mindset is like, ugh, THC is just so bad, like, it kills your brains. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, I didn't pull any punches. Like, okay, we own a very successful company. Very articulate. We have a good podcast. I was like, I travel around the world doing Argentinian tango. I take Spanish guitar lessons. I was like, I'm not really sure. Like, I in comparison, I would say to like other men, I think I'm like a little bit above average. I would hope, because it's always, you always want to strive to be better. I do work out, take care of myself. So it's kind of like, if THC does what you claim it does, why would I be in this position? Why would I mean, quite honestly, I feel like with THC, it helps you think outside the box. And it's not in the sense of like how when you're drunk, you think you can dance. It's like, right. But you really can't. But there have been times like, and it's not like, bro, we should do like a Swiss shit. It's like, we legitimately have pretty good idea. Well, good ideas sometimes. There's some other ideas like, yeah, that was a bad idea. But either way, it pulls like the governor off of your mind and allows you to go as fast as you need to go. It's hard to explain. But either way, watching that dude, I'm kind of like, man.
For me, it gives me clarity on certain things.
Like emotional clarity, too.
Yeah.
Helps you kind of calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it helps destroy anxiety.
Well, the dude was also kind of like, it makes you violent. It's like, what? No. What?
Okay. All right.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, sit down now.
It's like, bro, somebody get this guy some Geritol and send him to bed. It's like, this is just ridiculous. But appreciate the level one hype train emotes. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. I hope you're having a wonderful day. And yeah, the chickens made it through the night. I made sure to shut the front gate and then made sure to lock the coop. I think I'm going to keep them in the coop for a while. I love letting them free range. But I had PTSD last night. I'm sitting there, like, is that a clock? Is that a clock? Or like, are they in trouble? Like, I literally woke up. I think it was like 1 o'clock and I walked out there to just check on them just to make sure. And I heard movement in the coop. I got a little nervous and it's like, it's just the ducks. But, yeah, dude, I'm not gonna lie. It hurt. It fucking hurt. Like, you spend a lot of time and effort raising these things, keeping them safe, and then one night something comes in and gets them. It's like, motherfucker.
Didn't even eat them.
Son of a bitch. I had to cut the grass yesterday. That's like a 2-hour process, but it's like therapeutic. It's very therapeutic. I love cutting the grass. I do.
I don't know about y'all, right?
Huh?
It's a riding mower, right?
Oh yeah, now it is. Yeah. Yeah, with 2 acres, and I don't cut the back acre because it's for the bees. I let the flowers and stuff grow. But yeah, I cut the front, and the front's about an acre and some change. So it's, oh yeah, you have to. Doing a push mower? Hell no. You'd have to do that in like sections. But no, I think cutting the grass, like I was cutting grass since I was 8. Like
Same here. That
was one of those things.
That's like how I earned money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I do remember. Yeah. For me, it was more so that you're going to do your chores or you're cutting the grass. And the biggest thing I hated was weed eating. But now I love it. There's just something therapeutic. The smell of freshly cut grass, the smell of burning leaves. I don't know, man. The smell of burnt flesh. It just gives me an erection. And maybe, am I wrong on that? Is this just me? Like, am I the only one?
Oh,
I know.
Great.
The smell of cocaine, you know, off a stripper's ass. Why not? No. No, cutting grass, it's just, I don't know. I'll sit there. I'll have my ear pods in. I'll be jamming. Like, last night or yesterday, I was listening to big swing bands. Like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know. I have a very weird, eclectic music selection, I guess. I love that kind of. But anyway, it was funny because the chickens, the two that are still alive, the OGs, thankfully, that have made it through. These two chickens are like Terminator chickens because these, I've had these when I was in my other house, and Athena killed 3. The neighbor's dog killed 2. These two are the ones that have made it all the way through. So it's like, yeah, these are some tough ass birds.
The anointed chickens.
The anointed chickens. These are some tough ass little birds. They're like, they run. They're good. They're good at running. So, and then last night I felt bad because I got done cutting the grass. And as the sun goes down, you'll see the ducks and the chickens make their way to the coop. And they weren't. The ducks were. I was like, where's the chickens? And so I was like, oh God, where's the chickens? And you're, oh God. So Sheila comes out and helps me look. And they're actually tucked behind a bush in the front yard. And she's like, I think they don't want to go back in the coop. I was like, I could probably see that. I was like, they laid in the coop still. I was like, but they probably don't want to go sleep in the coop. And I was like, no.
Murder coop.
It's the murder coop.
It's probably the ducks. The ducks murder. Killed them.
The ducks like sold them out.
Yeah.
Like, psst, hey, dog, you want some chickens? They're trying to take over the coop.
That's what it is.
That's what they do. The ducks are like Hamas.
The diabolical ducks.
They're Hamas ducks. John Berg says, Brindle says, had a skunk meet his maker this morning for messing with mine. Messing with your skunk or messing with your chickens? Grow a bunch of lavender. The honey will have a lavender flavor. Ooh, that's not a bad idea. I mean, I have marigolds that are growing. We have some other stuff, but that's not a bad idea. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Throw some hemp seeds back there.
Some hemp seeds? I'm going to grow hemp?
Yeah.
Hemp CBD? Make a natural hemp CBD? That's actually not a bad idea either.
It's a damn good idea.
It's a damn good idea.
You just captured lightning in a bottle, my friend.
Yeah. Are you taking the dogs to the gravel pit? the ducks are like, take them to the gravel pit. You go to the gravel pit. You're done. Yeah, this episode is, again, brought to you by ShellShockCBD.com and 1920brand.com. Hey, are you an alcoholic? If you're in the military, you probably are. 1920brand.com, we got it right here for you. Many of you don't know about this wonderful, wonderful company. This is another company we have. This is Drink Mix. We have the Margarita Mix coming very soon, actually. But say, like, you like a good old-fashioned, well, we've got you covered. Maybe you want a good cocktail mix that's going to blend well with that old-fashioned. Well, step back in time and savor the... Well, hold on. This is going to be very fitting. Stand by. This is going to be the best advertisement yet. Not even pre-recorded. Here we go. Ready for this? Let's do it. Step back in time and savor the flavor of the Roaring Twenties with our traditional old-fashioned cocktail syrup. Our expertly crafted blend of unique flavors will take your flavor... Your favorite whiskey to bourbon to new heights and sophistication and style. Consider this our house blend, a true taste sensation that's been the bee's knees. With just a splash of your syrup, you can effortlessly create the best old-fashioned you've ever tasted, evoking the glamour and mystery of the speakeasy era. So why not treat yourself to a little bit of the rinse and relieve excitement of days gone by, say?
That's how it should be.
Nailed it. Nailed it at the last part.
That's exactly how it should be read.
Nailed it at the last part. Stop the presses, say? Wall Street's fallen. Josh is gay. 1920brand.com. We've got the old fashioned for your whiskey, and we also have the mojito blend. One of these bad boys of 16 ounces makes you roughly 32 cocktails.
Wink.
Wink. Now, this stuff's good. We make this. This is Texas made. Got the 1920 brand bar mats. You got your cocktail rocks glasses. Got the old fashioned drink mix. You got shop all. Here we go. Here's the mojito cocktail mix. Boom. Right. And this stuff is actually really good. It's all sourced locally, handmade. Tastes like happy.
Nectar of the gods.
Nectar of the gods, my friends. Nectar of the gods. Oh, it's a good time. It's a good time. California workers that were asking for $20 minimum wage. Well, guess what? It's never enough. Nope. No, sir. No, child. No, honey, child. They want more. Now they want $30. Folks, I am not making this up. I am not making this up. Women should have picked the duck, not the bear. Pick the suicide ducks. That's it. That's it right there. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Nailed it.
California workers now want $30 minimum wage. In recent reports by the Market Gains Channel, the host shared about the issue of minimum wage in California. Just a month ago, the state implemented a $20 minimum wage, a move celebrated by many workers. However, the initial optimism has given way to concern as massive layoffs sweep through various industries. You don't say. And you know, the beautiful thing about this, just this like speaks to the stupidity of liberals, speaks to the stupidity of Gen Z and millennial Democrats, that they'll see the ramifications of this. They'll see how this unfolds. It's like,
oh man, we're jobless now. Shit, what happened?
And rather than kind of like, you know, trace the, you know, follow the rabbit down the hole of economics, see why this happened. Instead, it's like, well, we should get more. It's like, you know, you're tying the noose around your neck and you're watering the shrub that you've tied it to. It's what you're doing, essentially. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. $30 an hour minimum wage. Is there a country in the world that does that? Like, I'm genuinely curious because I don't think there is.
Yeah, a country where the value of money isn't shit.
That's actually a good point.
How about a million an hour?
Well, no, even still, though, like, say, like, you were in Argentina and they had the pesos and it's so devalued right now and the inflation's so high that if you had $30 worth of pesos, that's a shitload of pesos. That's like, yeah. Because I remember last time we were over there. Reese, we're going back. We're going back in August. Sheila and I are going back for Tango. Our coaches are over there too. So we go do classes with them and then do the Milongas and do some sightseeing. So that'd be good. I love Buenos Aires. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. There's trashy parts to it, but other parts, like it's, they call it the Paris of the South, or South America. It's really beautiful. But no, like lugging around all those pesos in Argentina was such a pain in the ass. Like, dude, it's a lot, like stacks. And you think you're balling, it's like, that's like worth $10. It's like, yeah. Son of a bitch. It's not worth it. But I mean, you have to, so. But yeah. And Cali said to put a $50 cent tax on gas. Oh my God. Is that real? No. Really?
They're going to do what?
Where'd you see this, Red Hulk? He said the Cali is talking about putting a 50 cent increase on the gas tax. Where did you see this? There's no way they're going to do this. There's just no way. Yeah, it's crazy. Let's keep going with this. The video began sharing the tension between workers' demands for higher wages and the economic realities faced by the businesses. While labor and union groups have long advocated for increased minimum wage, recent developments suggest that $20 an hour may no longer suffice for many Californians. So, this is the beautiful part about this. Follow me on this. Businesses come into a community. Businesses create jobs. Businesses pay a fair wage. And what's a fair wage? Well, a wage that somebody's going to take that job. Maybe it's a kid, a single young man or young woman that are paying their way through college, tech. We don't know. But someone's going to work that job. So they're happy. They're increasing, probably hopefully increasing in profits, hiring more people. Because I'm going to tell you this. This is what a lot of people don't get about businesses. When you have good employees, you hold on to them. You do your best to hold on to them. Why? Number one, good employees are very difficult to find. Number two, trainability. If they meet all those criteria that you're looking for, it's hard to find. And three, the cost of retrain. It's such a pain in the ass. I think they say, depending on your business, you lose an employee, it's going to run you about $1,200 to $1,500 for retraining purposes and all this other stuff. So that being said, these businesses that move into California are self-sustaining. They get this. They understand all this. As far as like paying a fair wage. And I love that phrase, fair wage. And everything's working fine. And it's affordable, right? Well, when the government comes in and says, well, look, here's the deal. There's a lot of people in this community that you've moved to that physically can't work. And people that are clearly abusing and milking the system. So in order to make sure that they're taken care of, and also to pay our wages for, you know, facilitating this and being your government representatives, we're going to tax you. Okay, but these taxes also pay for the roads. They pay for your access to, you know.
Do they?
Yeah,
do they pay for the roads?
Dude, this is hypothetical. Would you just give me a second, please? I know that's not reality.
I started to throw something at you. You said that? We're trying to drive down this.
What's wrong with you, John?
Of our building here.
Reese gifted a tier one sub to Femboard. Thank you, Reese. Don't forget that if you are a subscriber on Twitch, every Friday we do a giveaway at the end of the show, and you're automatically entered to win a product of your choice from Shell Shock CBD or 1920, barring the dark matter. You're not getting a $250 product for free. You fuckers have tried that so many times with me. It's like, can I get a dark matter? It's like, you can get the hell out of here. Hell no. You can get, I'm cool with like a $50 product. That's fine. But $250, you're pushing your luck. You better be like a tier three subscriber at that point. But still, it's funny to me though, because once the city comes in there, or the government comes in, they start taxing, and the taxes go up, and they go up, and they go up, and then you got homelessness. And then as the taxes go up, people can no longer be able to keep their jobs open. They start closing their businesses down. And what do they? They start going to work for large scale corporations that they're favored by those local governments. It's like, so you've created this economy that is so drastically inflated. Number one, gas prices are ridiculous out there. You know, all the EV stuff they're pushing, all the bans, it's just putting more strain on the economy, just microeconomic stuff. So it's like, it stands to reason why, you know, these businesses cannot keep up with the economy. It's kind of like if the business paid a wage that was sustainable. Actually, hold on. I'm glad I brought this up. I got this graphic here. I'm going to tweet this out. It's going to go on John Burke 39 for show purposes. I just tweeted out. It says income needs according to family to live comfortably. Folks, this is real. Let me pull this up. It's on Twitter at John Burke 39. Let me grab this for you guys real quick so you can see this, because this is, I had no idea.
Yeah, I saw this California's gas tax. It'll go up July 1st. Later.
Okay, so hold on. The image is, what were you saying?
The gas tax at...
Oh, so it's real?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
July 1st. When's it going to go up? I think it's 58 cents.
Nothing surprises me. Nothing surprises me anymore. Okay. So, I don't have the graphic for you. Okay, so it's right here. It says, the income a family needs to live comfortably in the U.S. Texas, 201,000. That's an income to live comfortably as a family. California, 277,000. Washington State, 257,000. New York, 279,000. Massachusetts, 301,000. What the hell's going on in Massachusetts? I imagine it's really beautiful up there, though. Massachusetts, you ever been there?
Boston.
That's it. Boston. Massachusetts.
Wow.
And you got Nevada, 237,000. Alaska, 240,000. Hawaii, 295,000. Good Lord. California, New York, Massachusetts, some of the highest. $295,000 in Hawaii to live comfortably. Comfortably. This is not like upper middle class. This is like comfortably. I would imagine that's like lower middle class. Dude, that's...
Being able to afford a flat tire.
Oh, my God.
You have to replace a flat tire.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Absolutely. I'm at a loss. But then they'll sit there. What I love about this, though, is that they're going to blame the companies. They're going to blame the free market. It's like paying a Faraday's wage, yada, yada, yada. It's like, but you're not blaming the government. And then you turn... Which, by the way, it's the government's fault. But then you turn around and you keep reelecting these people. So I'm kind of like, it's hard to feel bad for you when this is what you do. You know? I mean, it's like you keep electing these morons. Morons. What's up, Maverick? What's up, guys? What's up, Twitch chat? Elon Musk scores a win with his feud with Australia. I saw this briefly. I know Australia was talking about, like, getting rid of Twitter. If they didn't censor people more. Like, legitimately, the one of the politicians over there is like, it's dangerous. He's got a... I can't do it in Australia.
It's pretty close.
No, that was horrible. no, this PM, or no, it wasn't the PM. It was some congresswoman. She was just kind of like, you know, he allows people to say on things on there that they shouldn't be allowed to say. Like, I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of it. It's like, do you hear yourself? You're not allowed to say that. Like, how, in my mind, quite honestly, in my mind, how could you ever rationalize a position whereas people should not be allowed to say certain things because it upsets your feelers? And you feel like that's a viable political position to hold, regardless of which party, which movement that's a part of? Fascism is never the answer. It's never been the answer. Not for a successful, happy population/society. I'm pretty sure communist China, they don't really care for the stuff over. I mean, I kind of feel like with them, they've been conquered so much, they're just kind of used to it. It's like, you know, as long as you're comfortable, bread and circuses, you'll be fine. But I don't think Americans are bred like that. I think we do really appreciate the idea to say, go fuck yourself. You know, yeah. Fuck Joe Biden. Can't say that in China. Can't say that in North Korea. You'll disappear. Can't say it here with Hillary. You'll disappear too. In my state, liberals outnumber the conservatives, so my state will never be red. I know. It sucks. It does suck. Elon Musk won a legal victory in Australia Monday about content moderation. The fight revolves around footage on X of a church stabbing a Sydney suburb. I thought Australia said that they're so much better than us because they don't have guns, but then there's stabbings. Yeah. It's almost like criminals are going to do whatever they got to do to inflict pain and violence, right?
Is it a little surprising that they're so liberal-leaning, Australia?
You know, I don't know their politics very well. I mean, it is. You'd think for like being a prisoner colony, you'd be more...
Right.
You know, I don't know. Musk, a self-proclaimed free speech absolutist, is fighting on multiple international fronts. An Australian court handed Musk a victory Monday in what he described as an ongoing fight for free speech. I'm betting this is politicians wanting to shut him down. The court ruled it would not extend a temporary block on the footage posted on to X of a church stabbing that occurred in a Sydney suburb on April 15th. X had opposed the block, which was initially ordered on April 22nd, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation reported. X never fully complied with the order, though X did get geo-blocked footage of the Walkley church attack in Australia, according to ABC. Australia's online regulator, the eSafety Commissioner, wanted a global block. Why do you want a global block? Why are you wanting to block this? What are you so afraid of people seeing? The church stabbing? Like, why? It happened. Or is there another reason? There's usually another reason. What's the other reason? Moving from blue state of Massachusetts to red state was such an eye-opener. How so, Ragnar? Welcome to the stream, man. Glad you're here. I don't think I've ever lived in a blue state. Well, you know, maybe I have, and I wasn't paying attention politically at the time, because, I mean, in America, you know, I was stationed in Texas, I was stationed in Georgia. I mean, I was at Fort Jackson for drill for like two, it's not living there. I don't know. I don't think I've ever actually held residency in a Democrat state. I don't think I'd ever want to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, the Second Amendment's a big one for me.
Yeah, growing up in Ohio, it was a swing state.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, you kind of get the best of both, sometimes the worst of both, I would imagine, up there.
Yeah, I felt like everybody got along, no matter your politics.
I think it was like that.
Like back in the 80s and 90s. Or
I think it was like that prior to social media.
Yeah.
I think social media definitely pitted sides harder against each other. And then, you know, the idea of being able to say something without any kind of like physical accountability, it's changed things. Like people, it's kind of like, don't run your mouth if you can't back your words with your fists. Now with social media, that's not the case.
Yeah.
You can say whatever you want, and there's no accountability. Like, I remember this one dude was criticizing this UFC fighter. He's like, you suck. And this guy's like, yeah, why don't you say that to my face? He's like, no, because you beat my ass. Hence why I said it on Twitter. And the guy's like, fair enough. And I was like, yeah, it's true. I don't know. But, yeah, it's crazy. That's crazy. Australia wanting to regulate free speech. Isn't that always the case? UT Austin professor fired after being arrested at an anti-Israel protest. What was he arrested for, I wonder? Was it a mostly peaceful protest? Well, the 18-year-old career at the crown jewel of higher learning in Texas ended last week for Professor Richard Heyman, who is accused of breaking police lines, shouting expletives in cops' faces, and destroying police property at a pro-Palestine demonstration on campus last month. Heyman, 57, was arrested last week after taking part in the April 29th demonstration and was terminated by his employer after he was taken into custody. The disgraced educator had worked at the university for almost 18 years and is listed as a lecturer in the English and School of Architecture. During the pro-Palestine protests on the campus, Heyman confronted state troopers yelling in their faces, "Fuck you, you don't belong here," reported the Austin American-Statesman. State troopers had used police bikes to create a line to push back protesters. Heyman attempted to breach the line and maintain a verbally aggressive demeanor. One officer tried to push Heyman, pictured back, and the professor responded by putting his finger in the cop's face and physically started to pull my bike away from me, interfering with my assigned duties. The arresting document reveals Heyman, who lists critical theory and Marxism among his interests on his university profile, broke the bell on the bike and was hauled away by police. Fuck you, I'm a fucking professor here, Heyman yelled. Well, get in the bike. Bring, bring, going downtown, bitch. What a loser. What, I mean, seriously, bro, you're a loser. You threw 18 years at a university down the drain to tell a cop, fuck you. Did Rafa stop? No. No, it didn't. You know, this is the thing. You're going to sit there and you're going to protest. You can protest all you want. It's not ending. It's not stopping shit. Israel's still going. Good. Go all the way, baby. Wipe Hamas off the face of the worst. And any Palestinian that supports it, I don't care. I'm not playing this bullshit of like, we got to, you know, innocent people are dying. Sucks to be them. Sorry. Better them than us. I don't give a fuck. This globalist idea that we all have to get along, I don't give two shits about them because they don't give two shits about me. Oh, what's going on is horrible. Then let's just hold hands with the Muslim extremists and sing Kumbaya. Like, stop. Stop. But this moron, I mean, look at him. He's a mouth breather. You look at this dude, it's just like, you know, what a putz. What a putz. You broke the police officer's bike's bell. And then you said, fuck you, blah, 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 blah. And you threw your career away. For what? Like, for what? Just a dumbass. Dumbass. Heyman's lawyer disputes the narrative in the attested document, stating that they have a video of Heyman's interaction with police that shows a different account. Mr. Heyman was, no doubt, he was yelling at the police, but the officer, and again, that's not illegal. You can tell the cops, fuck you. You can. That's free speech, baby. I agree with that. You can even give him the bird. I agree with that. You touch his bike, no, I don't agree with that, because that'd be the same as a regular civilian.
Right.
You don't have that right. I got to go in there and fix the Nightbot guys on Twitch. I'm sorry. But the officer initiated the physical contact. Yeah, he was trying to cross police lines, so he pushed them back. Did that hurt your boo-boo feelings? Attorney General Morris told the local Fox News station, Heyman, who was a bystander and not a participant in the protest, according to Morris, became upset after seeing how police were treating protesters. While the professor was yelling at the cops, Morris claims Heyman was pushed and grabbed onto the trooper's bike to keep from falling onto the ground. Morris also claimed his client's firing was political. I hope it was. I don't care. Good. I certainly think the university should have investigated what happened before taking some sort of action, the lawyer stated. Heyman is far. Look, here's the deal. When you show up to something like that and you decide to get involved, it doesn't matter whether you are attending that protest in support or not. You are now involved. Sorry.
It looks like he was getting a little physical with the police.
Is there a video?
Yeah.
There's no video posted. Maybe
I'll tweet it out, yeah.
Where's the video? Oh, there's just a lot of people that got arrested. And they all kind of look the same. They look very similar. Let's come back to it. So I've been listening about the Trump trial still going on. Michael Cohen gets up there. And they said basically this guy was a massive, just wasn't a bombshell. It was a dud. Big nothing burger.
You mean like all these cases against him?
Oh, it's nuts. Well, no, his testimony. He's the star witness for Bragg's thing. And he gets up there, and it's just like, it's a big nothing burger. It's like, if you're a Democrat, and, you know, you kind of support this. You support this weaponization of the DOJ and yada, yada, yada. And you look at this. You look at this testimony, and you see that there's literally nothing there. And you don't change your mind. Like, okay, look, this is clearly a politically driven bias. And you don't see that by now. I mean, come on. People just don't care, though.
Don't even care.
Not even a little bit.
I mean, if they did care, they would listen to Tara Reid, you know, the lady who accused Joe Biden of sexual assault back in the 90s.
I turned the Nightbot thing off, guys. Sorry about that. I did see an article where they said it's now been proven that What's-Her-Face's diary, Ashley Biden or whatever, her diary is real. It's like, we've known it was real.
It takes them so long to finally come around. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm, you have... I don't know what else you have to do. She said it was her. She called up and asked for it back because it was her diary. And they're like, let's give it some time to marinate.
Yeah.
I mean, like most of the stuff that this guy's done or his family's done around him, if it was anybody else, I mean, that's the news would talk about it nonstop.
I think it's one of those things.
Showering with his daughter. She writes about it, saying it was inappropriate.
I think it's that they're looking for stuff to use against Biden because as Biden loses support, as he just hemorrhages support, I think the MSM is going to start looking for reasons to turn on him so they don't go down with him. And I think that's one of those things. I think that's why they dredge it up months and if not years later. Say, well, wait a minute, what about? And it's like, why are you doing this now? And it's like, because you're turning on Biden. The press is going to do that.
Did they get some sort of signal?
Do you remember when they did that to Trump with Fox? Fox, when they thought Trump was done, they were crucifying him daily.
Yeah.
They were. That was like back in like, what, 2021?
Not that long ago.
The MSM outlets, that's what I try and tell people. It's like, look, Fox is no different than CNN. It is bought and paid for media. That's all it is. So maybe they say some things that you like half the time, but the other time they're way off track, but they have an agenda. There is always an agenda, and it is normally founded in money.
Agreed.
It's crazy. But, you know, what irks me is that Trump goes right back to him. It's kind of like...
these news outlets?
Yeah. I understand why. I do. But it's just like, you know, if...
I mean, because he started his own...
Hindsight being 2020.
And it's not
why
great.
Did Trump do a social media? Why didn't he invest in media? Well, he did, but I'm talking about more like news. As far as like starting his own... Well, I mean, we do have... Breitbart is hardcore Trump. These other... They're all hardcore Trump. But it's like... I kind of feel like if the whole thing was to be able to say what you want to say without being censored, without being regulated, I'd start your own media company.
See, do you think... When he's finally done in politics after this election cycle... So he gets elected 2028. Do you think the Newsmax and these other kind of right wing outlets still favor right wing politicians, you know, Republican politicians?
I would assume so. Yeah, and the only reason.
So you have like all these left leaning legacy media outlets, and then you have like Fox News is kind of.
Fox News is like, they're either way. They're more conservative, but you know.
They have some people on their network that are full-blown Democrats.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I would say, like, smaller ones like OWN and Newsmax and stuff like that, Gateway Pundit, I would say a lot of that depends on how they were built, what demographic they built themselves upon. And if they veer from that, they'll go under. Yeah. It's just a sad fact of reality. So Fox News, you know, fair and balanced, conservative, blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's what you built yourself on. It's like, but, you know, when Trump was done with the 2020 election, Fox just like ran everything against this guy.
Yeah.
And it was just like, damn, dude, it's you they were legit. You couldn't almost tell the difference between Fox and CNN. It was like a good 6 months to a year. Remember that? I remember covering it on the show. It was like, dude, Fox has got a hard on for Trump. And then now that Trump's running again, Fox loves them some Trump because Trump does bring the headlines. Trump does bring the clicks, the ad revenue. And he does. And
Fox isn't what it used to be, though.
Fox is not. No, Fox has really dropped off. After they lost the Dominion lawsuit with Tucker Carlson, they've had to play it safe.
They've just, you know, continued downward.
Well, I definitely think that was one of the nails in the coffin, to be honest with you. I think that Dominion, and, you know, we found out later, I found out through a source very close to the incident, and he was like, yes. He's like, the Dominion software or the Dominion lawsuit, that's what got Tucker fired. It's like they had to settle, and that was part of the conditions that they had to let him go. And so... I mean, I don't know if it's hurt him at all.
Tucker?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I think it's the same thing as kind of like Dan Bongino when he got booted off of YouTube. Like, his platform, you know, shot up, skyrocketed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tucker's biggest thing is on Twitter, but even Elon is not a fan of Tucker anymore. So, I don't know.
Elon isn't?
No. And Tucker's views have gone way down. But that's also kind of like you're the splash in the pond, you know, the splash in the pan. And then everybody's like, okay, cool. But, you know, Tucker, he started doing some really weird interviews. You know, I've actually got something here now that I'm thinking of it. Where's it at? Tucker Carlson. This dude, I thought this was crazy, but it's real. Tucker Carlson claims Sandy Hook denier Alex Jones is supernatural prophet who predicted 9/11. Former news Fox News host Tucker Carlson says conspiracy theorist and conservative commentator Alex Jones has tapped into a supernatural force that allows him to predict the future. Carlson made the comments on a recent episode of Joe Rogan's podcast. He's channeling something, Carlson said. I've asked him about it. How did you do that? At length, during dinner on my barn recently, we were talking about this. How do you do that? I don't know. It just came to me. And that's real. That is real. The supernatural is real, and I don't know why it's hard for the modern mind. I guess because it's a materialist mind to accept that. He continued explaining the idea of the prophet throughout history. It's not a new phenomenon. It's happened throughout history, Carlson said. Okay, I'm gonna push pause on this real quick. I have never read this article prior to the headline. We pull fresh articles and we read this. I can already tell you right now, based upon what Tucker has just said, it clearly states in the Bible how to determine who and who is not a prophet. Alex Jones is not a prophet. It literally says in the scripture, if they prophesy something and it does not come to pass, they are a false prophet. Now, Alex Jones has said many things that were wrong. What's a prophecy? What's not a prophecy? I'm sorry, he's not a prophet. He's not. That's when you sit there, it's kind of like, did he say he was prophesying Sandy Hook wasn't? Or like, I'm curious on that one. But my thing is, okay, test him.
Did Alex Jones himself claim to be a prophet?
I don't know. From this article, he's saying, he's like, I have this gift, apparently. So, I mean, he's not denying it. That's not a new phenomenon. It happened throughout history. Carlson said, there are people called prophets, and there are people who were prophets who weren't called prophets. But there are people who have information or parts of information or bits of information, visions of information, come to them, and they relay it. Carlson supported the idea that Jones possessed supernatural gifts by telling Rogan that the InfoWars host had predicted 9/11. Well, he's also channeling some stuff. You can't call 9/11 in detail because you're super informed before the fact. He called it. He literally called it in the summer of 2001. He said planes will fly into the World Trade Centers and they will blame a man called Osama bin Laden. We know that he said that because he said it on tape multiple times. And then he said, call the White House and tell them this, Carlson said. That's all we know about Alex Jones. Let me ask you a question then. Why didn't they call the White House and tell them about Alex Jones making that prediction? Maybe because he's made a lot of other predictions that were incorrect.
That was a pretty big one, though.
That's fine, but a blind squirrel's going to get a nut every so often. It doesn't make you a prophet.
I mean,
this is off. Blind,
like, say, calling that two planes are going to go into the World Trade Centers and it's going to be Osama bin Laden. I mean,
well, Alex Jones
is
actually
pretty spot on.
Not necessarily, I mean, spot on, but Alex Jones actually does his due process on a lot of stuff. He knew about the relationship with the bin Ladens and the Bushes for a very long time. He does a lot of digging on stuff like that. So maybe not so much a prophecy, but more so like putting pieces together saying this could be a way they retaliate. I don't know.
Sure.
It's possible.
I think that's what
prophecy,
most people do, right?
I do not.
Yeah, I wouldn't anoint him a prophet.
Exactly. It's like, cool, you called it. Good for you. But to call somebody a prophet because of this? Dude, this has like Jim Caviezel vibes all over this. Like he called Trump a Moses-like prophet. And just kind of like, this is the part of the GOP that this has gone off the reservation.
Tucker said?
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I've gotten a lot right too. Everybody says, Alex Jones, am I a prophet now?
You bet you are, buddy.
I mean, I called this back in 2015 as far as the woke bullshit, yada, yada, yada. Am I a prophet? Why does nobody say this for me? John Burke is the prophet. Called a lot of the stuff. I'm prophesying right now. You're actually doubting me being a prophet. Oh, see how good I am? That's so good.
I thought it was going to be something about chickens.
I wish. Except Jones wasn't the only one making those predictions. Jones did predict the summer before 9/11 that a U.S. conducted false flag terror attack might occur and that it might even happen at the World Trade Center in New York. But a month prior to Jones' prediction, another noted conspiracy theorist and broadcaster, Bill Cooper, made an even more pointed prediction claiming that Osama bin Laden would be blamed for a major attack against the U.S. according to Rolling Stone. Bin Laden was also a known terrorist even before 9/11 attacks. In 2020, members of Al-Qaeda launched a suicide attack against the USS Cole, killing 17 sailors. He was also linked to the deadly bombings of two embassies in Africa in 1998. So predicting a future bin Laden attack wasn't a bold claim. Jones is no stranger to outlandish claims as his denial of Sandy Hook shooting left him in legal trouble. Last year, Jones was found to have defamed the family. Okay, they're just adding that in to try and, you know, take away character assassination. But whatever. I mean, they have a point there. So I guess Jones is not the only prophet that got it right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It proves the point that I just made. It's like, it wasn't hard to kind of make that prediction. It's like saying, okay, there's a terrorist that is well known within these agencies. Bin Laden's been known for a very long time. And by the way, the Bin Ladens have a lot of business dealing with the Bushes. That was proven. So it's kind of like, I could see where they could put two and two together. It makes sense.
Well, if they could put two and two together, then why couldn't the
government?
Government.
That's a good question.
So if these guys, a couple of nobodies who aren't prophets, can call out exactly what's going to happen and it happened.
Yeah, that's the good question.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much as they planned it.
Do you think that's maybe why he calls 9/11, was it inside job?
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm not saying it's not.
That's why he...
I'm not saying 9/11 is not an inside job. What I am saying, though, is when people want to talk about that, it's always on the anniversary of 9/11.
Right.
And it's like, that's not the date I want to talk about it. Because either way, innocent people died. Do I blame the government? I kind of do. I kind of do feel like this, don't get me wrong, this was planned by Bin Laden. This was planned by our enemies. But I also know this was provoked for a very, very, very long time because America's had its nose in business dealings that we had nothing, that we should have nothing to do with. But this was facilitated by, I think, our government heads, our heads of state. So with that being said, I kind of get the feeling they knew about this or something similar to this possibly happening and nothing was done because this would give Bush the very reasons he needed to invade. Why? I don't know. War is a very, very lucrative thing. It makes a lot of people very, very wealthy and rich. I don't know. Could have been the perfect thing of like, okay, we're going to war with terror. We're going to take on the terrorists. I don't know, man. I don't think we're ever going to know the truth. I think maybe generations upon generations later, when they release this kind of stuff, then they'll know the actual truth.
Do you think so? I don't think so.
I think so.
I think it's one of those things that just gets buried.
Well, look at the
nobody will ever know.
Look at the JFK stuff.
People. Yeah. Look at JFK stuff. When did that happen?
That was in the 60s.
Right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, so
that's, how many generations? There's like one generation that's gone by since then. Or not even gone by, but I mean.
Still haven't.
Yeah. I mean,
they released a little bit of stuff, but not. Yeah. Like, why?
Well, I think they've already released what they find to be true, which was that he was assassinated by Oswald. I don't know.
I think the one thing we all can agree on is that we can't trust our government.
Hell no. I don't even trust you. Nah, I'm just kidding. I don't trust him either. But I don't know. Because there's the theories. There's like the two-gun theory. There's the hill. Because I look at the graph. I've been there. Like I've been to the right. You look at it. Sure. And it's like, it wasn't a hard shot. It actually wasn't.
From the
elevated position, moving target, yes. I was like, but you got a good basis for, like, I don't know. I mean, it's impressive either way. But the two-gun theory, I mean, it's possible. I don't know. I'll be honest. I can sit here and speculate. People can agree. They can disagree. But at foundation of it, I don't know. Do I trust the government's? No. I usually, you know, a good rule of thumb is whatever the government tells you, just believe the opposite.
Right.
Just believe the opposite. It's like, oh, I don't know. But
don't trust bees or chickens.
Don't trust bees or chickens, no. I don't know. It's crazy. It was not provoked. Absolutely. I'm not saying 9/11 itself was provoked. I'm saying that American interests overseas in the Middle East, it's basically like we should have nothing to do with this. This doesn't concern us. There's a lot of things that fall into that. So it's like, I don't know.
Well, that one incident sparked a 20-year war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And what did we get for it?
Yeah, what did we get?
What did we get for it?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Pulled out of Afghanistan and had, 12 more people were killed?
That's ridiculous. Trump trial veep stakes. Seeing this? Trump allies show up in force ahead of Michael Cohen's, this is today, second or yesterday, May 14th, today. Second day of testimony. Trump is back in court for a second day of Michael Cohen's testimony. I thought yesterday was the second day. Anyway, former President Trump's unprecedented trial in Manhattan is featuring support from GOP lawmakers and politicians who have been floated as potential running mates for Trump's 2024 run. Man, they are crowding in there to kiss that orange ass. Like, oh, pick me, daddy, pick me.
Tap dancing across the back.
Oh, daddy, show me love, please. Like, this is pathetic. Okay, look, here's the deal. Like, if you want to be his VP, fine, but you don't have to kiss his ass unless that's what Trump wants. And they're doing the dog and pony show. I don't know. Outside the courtroom Tuesday, Trump was flanked by North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, Florida Representative Byron Donalds, Florida Representative Corey Mills, and former GOP 2024 contender Vivek Ramaswamy, all of whom are defenders of the 45th president and could be in the running as potential vice presidential picks. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson also notably appeared in support of Trump's battle against 34 counts of falsifying business records, Fox News Digital reported. Vivek is here right now so he can speak for himself, he said. This is a sham trial. It's politically motivated. It's an assault on the leading candidate for U.S. president. He's going to talk to you. The Speaker of the House is here. We have Byron Donalds. Corey is here. We have a lot of great people here to talk to you, Trump said outside the courtroom Tuesday. What does this accomplish exactly?
Support?
Yeah, but it's just like, we know they support him. I mean, you have to at this point. Like, you better support Trump. You're done.
They missed the biggest opportunity when they didn't go down to Georgia, to Fulton County, when he got his mugshot. They should have been down there,
yeah,
out in front of the court, out in front of the cameras, talking about what a bullshit thing is, what's going on.
I was about
on.
To say, he'd already announced, though. Yeah, he'd already announced. So it's like, I kind of wondered, it's like, I feel like a lot of these people are only going to do this once Trump announced he was going to run. Now it's now we have to kiss his ass.
You're not running for VP. Just if you're politician, to get down there in front of these cameras and say what's going on is wrong.
Well, I mean, people are doing the same thing from the Twitter accounts now. I mean,
There's a difference just between sitting on your laptop and doing it and then actually going down there in front of the jail.
I guess, yeah.
You know, because it's a powerful visual. Yeah, here have this guy who was a president of the United States, and they're taking him in here and taking his mugshot.
Yeah, I agree. Red Hulk says Trump is getting free campaign. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is the best. You know, Trump, I talked about this on the show yesterday. Trump complains about the trial, but deep down, he's loving it. I'd love it. Dude, publicity you're getting from this, you don't have to go campaign. Everybody knows you're stuck in New York. Like, this is the best thing ever. Trust me.
They keep me here for the next 6 months. This is great.
They said he had between 80 to 100,000 people show up in New Jersey,
yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I think people are sick of what's going on with this government.
The DNC right now is poised to get hammered, but unfortunately, the GOP is so just divided. I don't know, but I definitely think that it's good publicity for him. It's great publicity. His donations keep going. The money, it just keeps going. How's Trump's stock doing, by the way? The DJT, what's it at right now?
Let me look for you.
Outside the courtroom Tuesday, the lineup comes after former president was joined Monday by Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, who also has been floated as a potential running mate. That guy is one of the biggest shills there is. He was what's it at right now?
$53.70.
Damn. Should have bought it at 30.
I think it was down to like 22.
Oh, man. It also has to go up like a lot for you to actually really make any good money. Anyway, J.D. Vance, massive Trump opponent, like not that long ago, now one of the biggest ring kissers there are.
Loves
Carrie Lake.
Loves him.
Biggest ring kisser there is now. It's like, noticing a trend. Noticing a trend here. The Trump campaign official told Fox News Digital that the supporters all volunteered to join Trump in court to support their friend and were not invited by the campaign. That's so sweet. Trump is back in court Tuesday for the 17th day of the trial, where the court is expected to again hear from former Trump attorney Michael Cohen. This is a nothing burger. Again, you know, like I said, Michael Cohen's got nothing. Stormy Daniels has nothing. Now the question is, like, you know, I mean, do you think they're going to find him guilty on this one?
Probably.
The hush money way?
Probably.
Think so? I don't know. It doesn't sound like it.
It shouldn't even be a case.
I agree.
So the fact that they have people up there in New York who just don't like, and some of the people that they gave interviews after they were released from the jury pool, it's like,
From what you said, though, we talked about this election interference, stuff like that. I don't think they're doing this with the intent to win. You got to remember, these people are funded by the taxpayers. The government has endless supplies of cash. I think they're just trying to keep them tied up, and they know they're going to be fighting losing battles.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think the goal is to keep Trump just kind of detained in a sense. It's like, but it's not working for you.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious to see it that way, to where, you know, they're going to use the courts to tie him up, keep him off the campaign trail, to drain his bank accounts, to try to paint him in a bad light, you know. So the E. Jean Carroll, I forget who, I heard somebody say that E. Jean Carroll was funded by, like, I don't know, Soros attorney.
I wouldn't doubt
like that.
I would not doubt it.
I wouldn't doubt it either.
They're using anyone and everyone they can.
It just
goes to show you that this legal system is completely fucked.
Completely fucked. You know, it makes sense. The that James O'Keefe video that he put out about the CIA guy talking about you could put anybody in jail.
Oh, yeah. I believe that. I believe that 100%. I mean, remember when, oh, my God, when, I want to say it was it Fahrenheit? No, it wasn't Fahrenheit 9/11. No. It was a documentary on the Clintons. It was back in the 90s. And it came out and it talked about the people that had been assassinated that had been working with them. It was a big deal. And then it just went away. You don't remember that? Oh my, it was, I think it was like back in the 90s, early 2000s, there was this documentary that came out and it had eyewitness testimony, people were acting, and it was like, it was really damaging evidence against the Clintons and talked about hits being taken out, yada, yada, yada. And I was just like, damn. But that, you know, that slimy underbelly, it's there. Like if they want somebody gone or in jail, they'll do it. Now they don't even assassinate, they just put you in jail for something. Yeah. Gotta love
that. I don't know.
Like I forget what it was. Terrorist groups in Afghanistan.
Is it the Clinton Chronicles?
I think that's it. When did it came out?
94?
That was it. Okay. The Clinton Chronicles. That was it. If you've never seen it, it's does not make the Clintons look good at all. Like there's dudes giving testimony about assassinations. I'm really reaching out. I swear I remember there was like a Secret Service agent gave testimony on this too. Like it was, that's what I'm saying. It's like people that work directly with them saying they are guilty of this.
Right.
And it was like, holy shit. Nothing ever happened to him. Clean like the Clintons, man. Clean like the Clintons.
Yeah, they say Teflon Don.
Teflon Don.
Look at all these politicians who, politicians who have probably broke multiple laws and had millions of people killed.
Wait, wasn't the Teflon Don John Gotti?
Was it?
Did they have a different name for him? Because because he always dressed so well.
They were calling Donald Trump that because everything they threw out, like,
yeah, true,
grab him by the pussy.
But I think they originally had given that to John Gotti because they couldn't get him on anything for so long, and they finally did. I don't know. Yeah, I get it. Terrorist groups in Afghanistan, Pakistan gained strength as and threaten U.S. interests. Report. Terrorist groups in Afghanistan and Pakistan are growing stronger and threatening the interests of the United States and its allies, as well as security in the region, according to a release Tuesday. United States Institute of Peace, the congressionally established group that published the report, said that Afghanistan is a fertile area for terrorist threats compared to the time before the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan in August 2021. Although the Taliban pledged to prevent Afghanistan from becoming a terrorist haven after it took over the... What? What? Like, no, for real, guys, this time, no terrorism. Wink, wink, these stupid Americans. You kidding me? These guys are terrorists. We fought them for how many years? That's crazy. Although the Taliban pledged to prevent Afghanistan from becoming a terrorist haven after it took over the country, the Taliban is providing material support for terrorist groups, the report states. You know, it's kind of like one of the biggest indicators is the first thing they did is like, women are going home now. No more education for you. Why? Because they want to keep women uneducated so they don't know. You know, ignorance is bliss. Keep that theology going hard. Keep them suppressed. Yes, Islam is so great. Yeah, wonderful. Uh-huh. Yeah. Ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Additionally, the Taliban's educational policies include a curriculum that promotes jihad or religious war as a path to change, which researchers warn may encourage Taliban followers to perform acts of extremism outside of Afghanistan. Well, who are they going to do it against inside Afghanistan? And you know the beautiful thing about this is that we armed them. We armed them. So much equipment left behind. So much money, weapons, ammunition. We armed them. And here we go. Yeah. Well, the worst case scenario concerning Al-Qaeda's reconstitution in Afghanistan has not materialized. The group and its South Asia affiliate continue to maintain ties with and receive support from the Taliban and to call for attacks against U.S. citizens, allies, and partners, including India and U.S. interests, the report says. Well, the Taliban is cracking down on the Islamic State of Khorasan, and has effectively reduced the group's acts of terror in Afghanistan since the group killed 13 U.S. service members and more than 150 others during the hectic withdrawal. There are more concerns the group may attempt acts of terrorism in the future outside of Afghanistan. The Institute has also advised U.S. policymakers to focus on mitigating terror threats. Oh, here we go again. Here we go again. Terrorists are acting up. Another invasion. Here we go. Right? No. Come on. Come on. What do you think is going to happen? Folks, you know, I hate to say this, the botched withdrawal, what happened? God forbid our children or our children's children have to deal with that. They're a legitimate army now. They're armed. It's such a damn shame. It's such a damn shame. That's crazy. But here we are. Afghanistan Gold Star parents. Wait, Saki's lie about Biden checking his watch is part of a constant pattern from the Biden team. Okay, so I think this is when they were unloading the fallen service member and Biden was looking at his watch. Right. Remember that? Yeah, it was a big deal. On Monday's broadcast of the Fox News Channel's Hannity, Afghanistan Gold Star parents Steve Nikoy and Darren Hoover reacted to former White House Press Secretary and MSNBC host Jen Psaki incorrectly claims President Joe Biden looked at his watch during a service for fallen soldiers killed in Afghanistan are misinformation, a claim she said will be corrected by stating that they aren't surprised because the Biden administration has done nothing but lie about Afghanistan. Nikoy stated, "It's devastating, but it's not really surprising from this administration and from the people that have worked in it. They continue to lie, to manipulate facts, and to change their narrative to support their narratives and to change the history, regardless of what mishaps they've done." You know, how could you say that's misinformation when it's literally on video?
They just continuously lie.
It's literally on video. I mean, was he not at a fallen thing? Because I do remember they were standing in formation. You see the caskets, you see him doing it. How can you deny that as misinformation? These people gaslight. Hoover said Psaki is just a violent, shameless human, but she really is. Karine Jean-Pierre, the rest of them, it's like to willfully go into that position knowing that you're going to have to lie and run interference and cover from somebody like the likes of Joe Biden. And you voluntarily say yes to it. I just think that you're a trash human being. I think you're trash. You're vermin.
Yeah, she's a full-blown pig.
That's nuts. It's like the Jedi mind trick. Like, that never happens. Like, yes, it did. We literally just watched it. He never checked his watch. Misinformation is like, we literally watched it happen. And it was kind of a fucked up thing to do. Like,
yeah.
And I know some people, when you hate somebody in the political spectrum, you're going to look for things to nitpick about. I mean, they did it with Trump, with how he drank water and how he kind of sniffed sometimes. Yeah. You go over, they went after DeSantis for his boots, just bullshit cosmetic stuff. So I'm very leery about doing that towards political opposition. It's like, okay, are we fishing for something here, or is there legitimacy to this? The watch incident, that's legit. Like, dude, you're the president, and fallen service members are being, you know, transported. You should be the position of detention, hand over your heart, whatever, not checking your fucking watch. That's disrespectful. But this is what we get. This article I pulled, dude, this has got me a little worried. Quite honestly, it's got me a little worried. Minority Report. Remember that with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Feels like we're getting there. Zuckerberg's surveillance dream. I'm really starting to think, like, this guy is the devil.
Zuckerberg?
Yeah. Meta working on an AI-powered camera buds that gather audio and video. Mark Zuckerberg's Meta, Facebook and Instagram's parent company, is diving headfirst into the world of AI-powered wearables with its camera buds project combining audio, video, and AI to form the ultimate surveillance capitalism data gathering tool. That automatically just makes me say, I don't like this. Android Authority reports that, according to a report by The Information, Meta is developing AI-powered earphones equipped with cameras, internally code-named camera buds. These earphones are designed to leverage AI capabilities for real-time object identification and foreign language translation, potentially revolutionizing how users interact with their surroundings and providing Meta with incredible amount of data about personal lives of wearers and anyone they come in contact with. Don't know if I really like that one. I mean, we already know our phones have ears on them. I mean, right. they pick up our stuff. Now you're just literally putting it in your ear versus your pocket, I guess. That's kind of scary. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's always, we're doing it for this, but you know there's an alternative reason. I'll send you some Argentinian desserts. You know what I'm looking forward to in Argentina? I'll let Reese guess, because she's always harping about it. You know, all the people are talking about it, like dulce de leche. Oh, my God. Dulce de leche. What is it? Tres leches. It's another good one. The biggest thing I'm looking for. No, not Malbec. Malbec, you can get that imported here. I'm looking forward to the empanadas. The empanadas are muy bien. Do those empanadas, and they sell them on street corners. Like how they sell hot dogs in New York, they sell empanadas on the street corners over there, and they're just so good. They're so good. Oh, my God.
Do you worry about getting food poisoning?
No, it's not like that. It wasn't like Peru. Like, you're going to these places like, Argentina, you don't have to worry about that. It's developed. It's a developed country. It's just they're broke. They have everything. I mean, because they do have, like, a lot of... Their shops in Buenos Aires, like the ones that we walk around into, it's like historic old buildings that look really beautiful, but there's shops inside too. Like all the tango places we go to get shoes, pants, whatever, it being a beautiful looking like a kind of like an apartment building that's been refurbished into like a just like an open floor design, and it's like they're beautiful. It's like you're going into like ancient areas to, not I shouldn't say ancient, but like 100, 200, 300 year old buildings to go in there and buy. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty, but it's very common. So... But the thing I love about Europe and places like Argentina and other places similar is that we talked about this before. They have cafes. You can sit in a cafe in a city, and in their cities, you're not going to drive. Like in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, you will. Like there's driving everywhere. Other cities in Europe, like in Istanbul, places like that, there's driving around the outside, but the inner city, you have to walk everywhere. And so there's cafes positioned, and you can just sit and people watch. You can talk. It's just a good time. I love Spain. Spain was a lot of fun in Valencia. Dude, it was during Christmas time, it was perfect. You go sit outside. It's a little chilly. They have the little fire things overhead, a little gas fire. And just sitting there, and it's like Christmas music, lights, and you're just getting hammered. It's like, it's a great time. It's like, that's what's fun. That's what's fun. So let's keep going. Meghan and Harry's Charity Foundation. It's delinquent in California, ordered to stop soliciting or spending money. How do you make this happen? How do you let this happen?
I don't know. Like,
yeah. Meghan Harry's California-based Archwell Foundation charity has been ordered to stop spending or soliciting money after being found to be delinquent. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex, who abandoned their duties to the British royal family in favor of money-making ventures in Hollywood, have left their official registration fees for their charity lapse since at least the beginning of May, according to a letter from California Attorney General Rob Bonta. The letter, which was obtained by the New York Post, page 6, stated, an organization that is listed as delinquent is not in good standing and is prohibited from engaging in conduct for which registration is required, including soliciting or distributing charitable funds. The organization may also be subject to penalties and its registration may be suspended or revoked by the registry. It gets better. The Archwell Foundation will reportedly need to pay late fees to the state of California in addition to submitting records demonstrating why the payment was late. The news comes on the back of apparently difficult year for the woke couples charity, which, according to U.S. tax filings, saw an $11 million collapse in donations last year compared to 2022. Because people hate you. They don't like you. Meanwhile, and I didn't know this part. Meanwhile, Meghan and Harry were dropped from Spotify from their $20 million podcast deal last year, as well as being branded fucking grifters by Spotify executive and the Ringer Foundation, Bill Simmons. I didn't know that.
Damn.
So you get fired from the royal family where you literally have to do dick all because your liberal wife. Woman is worth that. Before, no woman is worth that.
How long do you think before they get divorced and he heads back to the UK?
I don't know.
How many more letters will it take from the California government?
Like, Harry, bro, this is what happens when you stick your dick in a liberal. Don't do it. Don't fuck liberal women. Don't marry. Don't impregnate liberal women. This is what happens. This woman got her liberal claws in this dude, and look what she's turned him into. Look what his life is full of drama. Meanwhile, you got his brother over there. He's got a good life.
Crushing it.
He's crushing it. He's doing his thing. I don't know if he's happy or not, but with these two, There's always something.
He's not getting letters from the government telling him that he's going to have to shut his charity down.
Well, he kind of owns the government, so no, not really. But still, it's just like, dude, you brought this on yourself. And you followed this woman. You didn't think for yourself at all. And this guy's a combat veteran. A lot of respect to him and his brother. Like, he actually fought and serves. Like, dude, kudos.
That's true.
That's kudos. Yeah. That's a hell of a man. But then you let this woman manipulate you. And what happens? Now you're living in California. Your charity's gone tits up. You branded a beta bitch.
Now you're a California cuck.
Your wife is just hated unanimously across the world. Her podcast is a failure. You get dropped from spot a $20 million deal and you couldn't even make it. Wow. Just like, you know, here's the thing. How did you fuck that up? Like, I'm curious. Like, I kind of want to know, how did you screw up a $20 million Spotify deal?
Like, great question.
$20 million, you're set for life. You've got generational wealth right there. And you fucked it up.
He had generational wealth.
He did. Wasn't his. I mean, he didn't earn it, but yeah.
Yeah.
With this one, I mean, you still didn't earn it because it's by virtue of who you are, through no action of your own, just simply passed down a title through blood. So it's like cashing in on that. So yeah, whatever. Still. I don't know.
So, yeah, I'm just curious to when he actually goes back to.
It's gonna happen. They will get divorced. There was actually talk of them like being on the rocks. And then you know what she'll do? She'll write a book.
Oh,
she'll write a book condemning him.
Did she write a book already?
Probably.
She called the
family racist. Yeah. And then she'll lump him in with it. She's got like a Taylor Swift kind of vibe going. Oh, I saw that. I love the left eating itself. I saw that Taylor Swift lost, like, apparently reports were that she lost 5 million followers. And then her and some other people, because they weren't saying anything about Palestine. It's like, these are the people that you want to be with. Congratulations. You're a slave. You're a slave. Now, you're a wealthy slave.
What an excellent point.
But you better do what they want you to do. So you better start talking about Palestine. Just wait.
Harry wrote a book? About what?
Who knows?
Struggles of life.
Let me see. Let me see if I can pull up an article. Taylor Swift losing followers. Yes. Oh, yeah. It's true. Okay. Let me look this. This comes to us from MSN. Taylor Swift lost 5 million followers overnight. Here's what the block celebrity trend means that hit Kardashians and other celebrities. Oh, I love this. Taylor Swift's fan base, also known as Swifties, is not just about the music. It's a community with its own unique quirks and preferences reflecting the deep influence of the song. Its own quirk. It means they're fucking fat, ugly, unattractive, socially awkward outcasts, and they come together because Taylor Swift unites them in their weirdness. Yes. Imagine a singer creating that for you. Like, I really love the Killers. I guess, like, am I going to go join this community of Killers and we're all having, you're so unique. You're little snowflakes. Swift's innate ability to connect with her audience on a personal level has made them see her as their go-to in tough times. This has even earned the nickname cult in some circles. But lately, it seems like the pop sensation may have been seen in a dip in the number of diehard fans she's cultivated over the years. Taylor Swift has joined the ranks of celebrities falling victim to the block celebrities trend, shedding millions of social followers overnight. Fans banded together on social media to unfollow celebrities like Kim Kardashian and Taylor Swift on platforms such as Instagram, Facebook, and Spotify. It's part of a new viral trend encouraging people to unfollow celebrities who have not spoken out against the violence in the Middle East. Recently, influencer Joey Mancuso claimed on Instagram thread that Taylor Swift lost 5 million followers. However, according to NPR, also reported by The Nation, the Cruel Summer singer actually lost 300,000 TikTok followers last week and 550,000 on Instagram. The whole deal with blocking celebrities on social media is to dial down their influence online, which hits their reach and advertising cash. The movement also hopes to raise more awareness on the issue and increase pressure for global action towards a ceasefire. Blah, 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 blah. Taylor Swift aiding an Israeli teenage fan. It is no secret that Taylor Swift and her concerts have been a huge boost to her country's economy. But who would have thought they could also serve as refuge for fans across borders during a devastating conflict? Ronan and Boetzer, Swift told CBS News last year that her mother, Illant, used Swift's music to help her cope during tense times. She told me to think about a Taylor Swift concert. I don't know if I'd go that far, but okay. Whatever. I don't think I've ever been in a situation where I was really stressed out. I was like, I really go for a Taylor Swift song right now. But I know that's subjective. I know, to each their own.
It's garbage.
Some people do like. I mean, she's talented. I'm not gonna lie. She's got a good voice.
It's garbage, buddy.
Okay, it's garbage. I'm sorry. It's just not good music. It's really not. I don't know. The Redbeard 69 says, "Y'all Latinas are very fertile." Yeah, no shit. That's where the stereotype originates from. 100%. Yeah. So I guess she didn't lose 5 million. She lost 50,000. Well, boycott them all you want. Go for it. I don't care. I love it, though. I just love seeing the beast that you've created and fed for all these years just turn around and whip the chain on you and whoo, now you better do something.
Did you see that Michael Rapaport's little speech he gave at the Emmys or Oscars or something like that, where he just started talking about hostages in Israel? There's like 127 hostages.
This was an actual speech?
Yeah, he got it. Where was that?
How long ago?
It was recently.
Ooh.
You guys in the chat, you know I'm talking about? Michael Rapaport.
He's been doing speeches around like protest gatherings. I didn't know he did like an official award speech.
Oh, yeah. He got up there and was like, I guess he was hosting this thing.
They knew what he was going to do. You don't get somebody like Michael Rapaport and expect him not to give some kind of, you know, political hot take. So that was intentional.
Oh, yeah. It was.
It had to be.
I'll tweet it at you.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Should we do a giveaway on Twitch today? I think we should. We had a lot of people engaged, a lot of people commenting. Thanks so much. All right, fuck it. We're going to do a giveaway on Twitch today after the stream. So if you're a subscriber, stick around after the stream. We appreciate that. If you want to go and subscribe, by the way, if you have Amazon Prime and you just don't like Twitch, you can still help support the stream, be entered in the giveaways, and still watch on a different platform. Get the best of both worlds. If you go to John Burke Official over on Twitch, here is the link. You go subscribe. You get Amazon for free. You have Amazon Prime. You can subscribe for free. And we are going to do a giveaway right after this. And it's basically any product you want from the Shell Shock CBD website, minus the dark matter. We're not giving that away. Sorry, it's too expensive. So, all right, that does it for us today here at the All-American Savage Show podcast. We'll be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. CST, right here on Kick, Twitch, Rumble, wherever you can find us. We appreciate you. We love you. We thank you very much for all our subscribers. And you got anything to add, man?
You guys have a great night.
And as always, stay savage, America. Stick around, Twitch. We'll be right back.